back in me that clean heart I once had. Renew that right spirit back in me. Don't cast me away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation like I used to have. Praise God. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Then he says in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. You want God to get back into that heart? Let God break it, that old spirit in that heart. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. When your spirit and heart is broken, God has access to your body, your soul, and your spirit, and he can heal. And the breaches are all repaired and restored by his marvelous work of grace through the intervention of the Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus that makes us clean. Praise God. Jesus said in Mark 8, 36 and 37, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What? It don't make two hoots worth of difference whether you're successful or victorious or popular, not out here in the marketplace. I ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. If you owned a company, if you owned the city of Jacksonville, if you owned the Empire State Building, if you owned Donald Trump's billionaire enterprise, what good is it going to do him when God takes away his soul? What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? An old altar call song used to say, what would you give in exchange? What would you give in exchange? What would you give in exchange for your soul? Oh, if today God should call you away, what would you give in exchange for your poor soul? God have mercy sakes. I used to hear that song of people that were sincere, right with God. You can hear some old jazzed up group singing, it don't mean much. But back in the days I grew up, they'd sing that song. Boy, I'd hear them sing it. If somebody made a record of it, it was pretty forceful. You could play it, they'd play it during revivals. Try to get people's attention. Boy, that fella sang that song, that group. Now, they some kind of was anointed. What will you give? Boy, I'd hear that song almost make my hair stand up. What are you going to give in exchange for your soul? What if today God would call you away? What would you give in exchange for your soul? Jeremiah 17 and 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know the heart except God? The Bible said you don't even really know your own heart. It's God that searches the heart. It's God that tries the reins. It's the word that exposes the sin and all the uncleanness that comes out of that old heart that's in that unregenerate old person we are before we find Jesus Christ as Lord and Master. You can have an old heart that's hard as a rock that God cannot in any wise cause you to be sensitive to his presence or right and wrong until you get that heart straightened out. Jesus said in Mark the 10th chapter, in verse 5, Jesus said unto his disciples, for the hardness of your heart, Moses wrote you this precept to suffer you a bill of divorcement to put away your wife. It's for the hardness of your hearts, Jesus said. For from the beginning, it was not so. It was not God's will from the beginning. And they was tempting him and saying, hey, you say you're not supposed to divorce and remarry. How come Moses allowed it? He said, because of your hard hearts. That's the reason. People's hearts wasn't hard. God could straighten up these divorces and save divorces, these conflicts in the home. And save the marriages. It wasn't for the hardness of our hearts. In that same chapter, go a little further, mark the 16th chapter. In verse 14. Afterward, Jesus appeared unto the 11 as he sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. You've hardened your heart against the Holy Ghost that he care not convict you and deal with you and lead you out of that misery or out of that sin or out of that malice, all that misery like the old prodigal son in the hog pen came to. Said the misery. He came to where he was miserable. You can harden your heart against God. God can let you go. Your old heart's so hard that you can feel comfortable in your sins. That's a tragedy. What does the scripture say in Proverbs 14 and 7, I believe it is, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way. When you get filled with your own way, you're backslid. You may not be all the way back, but you're backslid to a great degree when you want to have your own way, not God's way. And that's hardness of heart. And it takes God, like Job said, it takes God to make my heart soft. You better let God make that heart soft. God, have mercy. What a wonderful thing when God can make your heart soft. All right, in the little book of James, he's the brother, you know, of Jesus. Turn over and let's take a look at the little book of James here, the fourth chapter and verse 18. James 4, verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Talking about sinning Christians. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Purify your hearts when you're double-minded. Your hearts are not pure with God. That's what I was preaching about last night. Save this for today. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded Christian. Be afflicted and mourn and weep and let your laughter be turned to mourning. Your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of God and the Lord, and he'll lift you up if you'll let him. If you'll humble your heart before him, he'll lift you up. James, the third chapter, verse 14. If you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth, you're in a mess. When your heart is filled with what the scripture says here, bitter envy and strife, don't you glory and lie against the truth, because you're dead wrong. That bitterness has reached to your heart and it's deadly. And God knows it, and he wants to lead you to confession and forsaking of those things that has brought you to that desperate situation. God wants to heal the breach. He wants to heal the breach and establish our hearts. In 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter, in verse 13, the great apostle made this comment, and I love it. To the end, he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. What Paul did, he was trying to establish. That means to establish.